praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Amen. Amen. Let's see. Brother Pat, would you open our services up in prayer, please?
Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we're able to be here and to gather and to hear your word. And we just pray your blessings upon the service today. Pray that your message would go forth and that people would hear it and respond to it, Lord. And we just ask that everything would be honoring and glorifying to you today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. Amen. Let's see. Tonight, after the evening service, they postponed the birthday celebrations, anniversary celebrations. It's usually on the second Sunday of the month. But we're gonna have that tonight. So come on out and have some cake and ice cream and some other goodies that'll be prepared tonight after the evening service and good fellowship and praising the Lord so come on out tonight and celebrate my birthday. There we go. I'm getting older. Amen. That's better than the alternative, right? So that's good. Let's see. Business meeting. Let's see. We're not going to have one. Not today. We're not going to have one. But good things are happening. God is good. He's blessing our church. And, we have to be confident and trust the Lord that he's going to work it out as long as we're doing what he wants us to do and doing the best we can. Amen. The Lord's going to bless. Amen. Let's see. Is there anything else? Announcements? Why am I forgetting anything? Guess not. Well, let's turn over to 452. One thing was we were out. We were gone. We miss you guys, but hey, I had a great time with the grandkids and last week. Mothers, I hope you mothers had a great, great Mother's Day. But we had a great time. My grandson is playing flag football, and boy, I was yelling. I was hoarse afterwards. He scored 5 touchdowns, back-to-back games, and boy, I had a great time watching them. But it was good to be over there and visit with them. But it's good to be back. Amen. Number 452. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Amen. Got to lean on them. I'll tell you, at times in this world, the way things are changing, we got to look to God for our guidance. Let's see. We have our offering coming up, but how about if we have Brother Johnny? Are you ready? Brother Johnny come up first, and then we're going to have another special after the offering. So we have a couple specials this morning. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. You know, when I was lost in my sinful condition and despair and everything. You know, that seemed like there wasn't any love toward me, which I didn't deserve. But you know what? One day, love came calling. God's love came calling me. And you know what? I'm so glad that I had sense enough to respond to that calling. Please.
On the stormy sea of Galilee, when you said, Peter, come to me, he was calling. Love came calling into the dead man Lazarus in the grave. He came much too late to say he was calling. His love came calling. Love came calling like a warm embrace. Every doubt and fear replaced, he was calling. Love came calling like a faithful friend. Never be the same again. He came calling. Oh, his love came calling. She had lived a life of such regret, beyond the line of grace, and yet he was calling. His love came calling through a field of tears and bitter pain. She heard his voice so clear and plain. He was calling. His love came calling. His love came calling like a warm embrace. Now every doubt and fear replaced. He was calling. Ooh. His love came calling like a faithful friend, and never be the same again. He was calling. Oh, his love came calling. Long before I ever knew the sound or what could turn a mighty life around, he was calling. His love came calling. But when I heard a brilliant song of freedom where my heart belongs, he was calling. Oh, his love came calling. Now he was calling. His love came calling. Oh, his love came calling. Oh.
Yes, it did. Praise God. His love came calling. Oh. Amen.
If you'd all rise and we'll turn over to number 55, and would a couple of ushers please come at the end of the song to receive the offering. I have found a deep peace that I never had known, and a joy this world could not afford. Since I yielded control of my body and soul to my wonderful, wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord. By angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I bow at thy shrine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. I desire that my life shall be ordered by thee, that my will be in perfect accord with thine own sovereign will, thy desires to fulfill, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord. By angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I bow at thy shrine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. All the talents I have laid at thy feet. Thy approval shall be my reward. Be my store, great or small, I surrender it all to my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord. By angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I bow at thy shrine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Thou art fairer to me than the fairest of earth, thou omnipotent, life-giving Word. O thou Ancient of Days, thou art worthy all praise, my wonderful, wonderful Lord. My wonderful Lord, my wonderful Lord, by angels and seraphs in heaven adored, I bow at thy shrine, my Savior divine, my wonderful, wonderful Lord.
Amen. Brother Roger, would you pray for our offering?
Father, again, thank you for your watch, care, and your love. We thank you again for this church that you've given us that preaches and teaches your word without compromise. Lord, we pray for our missionaries now that you can continue to guide them and bless them. We thank you for this church that contributes so much to our missionaries.
Yes.
We again pray that everything that is done here today will glorify you. Mm-hmm. We pray for Brother George as he opens the bread of life to us. His hearts and minds will be tuned to your word.
Yes.
We again thank you so much. We have many blessings. Thank you for the families that are represented here and our visitors. Thank you so much for loving us and dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Now we're going to have a special by Sister Reza and Sister Jackie. Amen.
Jesus. tossed and driven on. No human help in sight, but there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ.
So good. Amen. And Sister Nancy, that was wonderful too. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I always hear it, you know, and when pastor come up here and after something like that, they'd say, boy, that's going to be hard to preach after that one. Pardon me? Oh, scripture reading. Let's do it. Pat, come on up. We'll have the scripture reading.
I was gonna just bypass that until next week because we had a couple.
I thought you were.
Yeah. But hey.
Yeah, I thought that was important. So we do have a couple announcements. We have a couple. Paul Delisle. He's been added back onto the prayer list for throat cancer, I think.
Lung cancer.
Okay, lung cancer. And then we have Andrea Hannibal and baby. She's having some contractions. How's she doing?
She's doing better.
Doing better. Okay.
Seems to be healing.
And yes, we already have you on there for healing. I hope we do. And then Miles Mortensen, he's relapsed. His cancer's come back. So we need to keep him in prayer. Yeah, little Miles. So I should have told you to do this while I was talking, because it's hard to find. Lamentations chapter 3, it's right after Jeremiah. And we're going to start in verse 22 and go to 25 and then read 40 and 41. So it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto those who wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And then in 40, let us search and test our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. God bless the reading of his word.
All right. It was good this morning. Brother George gave lessons on cults and how to respond to them. And in love, because we're Christians, it should be in love and, you know, not arguing with them or anything like that. And it was a good lesson. There's some handouts that are good to take with you. So we're going to make some copies of it, and we'll have those available for you. They'll be here in the back there, maybe next Sunday, by next Sunday. We're ready. Brother George, would you come up and share with us what the Lord has given you? Amen.
Good morning. Before I ask you to stand, the scripture, my mom is here today. I want you to meet my mom, just to embarrass her. But no, she's an encouragement to me. She's the first one in our family to get saved. And she started praying for us, and my brother, older brother, gets saved when he was in Florida, and then he brought me to Bible Baptist Church, and I got saved, and the younger brother got saved, and so on and so forth. My dad currently, just recently, I've been noticing that he's been carrying his Bible with him, which is unheard of, unseen of, impossibility about 5 years ago. Or 3 years ago, maybe. We've been praying for him for a long time, but every time I bring the kids to visit him, I've been noticing he's always carrying a Bible. It's like, wow, something's happening. Something's happening in the family, amen? Man, that song. You could just have an altar call after that song, amen? When we see Christ. You're right, Brother David. It's difficult to preach after that. It is, Adam. I was tempted to change the message just because of that song, but I think I'll stick with what God has for this morning. I'm honored to be here once again from last Sunday, or 2 Sundays ago now. I'm always honored to be asked to open up the Word of God and preach. I do not take it lightly. It is a holy book being preached to His holy church about the holy God. So it's not a light thing. To be asked to preach and teach the Word of God, it is a big responsibility. Last Sunday, I was asked to preach in L.A., in Los Angeles Church, in Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church in L.A. That's why my family and I weren't here. So that's my excuse for not being in church. Amen. Please stand with me. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We'll see where the Holy Spirit of God takes us from here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're going to be jumping from verse to verse. Look at a couple of things this morning. Let's read just 3 verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then I'll ask you to be seated. Let's start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies And the God of all comfort, I'm going to ask Pastor Wetzel to pray for our message this morning, Pastor.
I want to call everybody back today and give you thanks for the privilege to be here. Thank you for an open Bible that we have. Thank you for our man of God who's been touched by the Holy Spirit, given the power to preach the blessed word of God. So open our hearts today. Make us receptive and responsible as your word is preached.
Amen. You may be seated. The book of 2 Corinthians was a follow-up letter by the Apostle Paul, written around 57 AD during his third missionary journey. The context, the topic of the book is about the ministry. And in essence, it is about the Christian life. If you look at verse 4, to give you an overview of the book, Paul says, "Who comforteth us in all our," he uses words like tribulation, "that we may be able to comfort them which are in any," look at that word, "trouble." Verse 5, he says, "For the sufferings of Christ abound in us." The book of 2 Corinthians is filled with words like in verse 8, it says, "pressed out of measure, despaired even of life." Verse 9, "the sentence of death." Equally, and in the same manner, it uses the words comfort and consolation. And it is, isn't it true that the Christian life could be a life of tribulation? It could be a life of trouble. It could be a life of suffering. It could be a life where you are pressed out and despaired even of life. We can only imagine what the apostles have gone through during that time, especially the Apostle Paul. In the following chapters, he talks about his hardships. He says in chapter 11, he says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in weariness," in verse 27 of chapter 11, "and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." So much negativity that Paul had suffered as a Christian. But on the other side of the token, he says that "for as the sufferings of Christ," in verse 5, so our consolation aboundeth in also in Christ. See, the Christian life has this sort of a balance or dualism, if you would. Now, I don't like that second word, dualism, because of the negative connotation that it ties in with Buddhism. But isn't it true that the Christian life oftentimes is full of negativity, full of hardships and trials? James chapter 1, let's go there with me. Go to James chapter 1. Verse 2, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." He gives you the reason for your trials. He gives you the reason why God allows things to happen. That is the context of the book of 2 Corinthians. Let's backtrack to verse 1. Paul, the author of this letter to the Corinthians, was not always named Paul. As a matter of fact, he was named Saul. You see, one of the things that happens when a man and a woman comes to Jesus Christ, there is a change. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That when Saul got saved, he changed his name to Paul. How many of you can testify to that? That when Jesus Christ came to your life, there was a change. There has to be a change. There has to be a change. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, an apostle, there are people that claim that they are apostles nowadays. There are churches that call themselves apostolic churches that believe that there are still apostles in the modern times, but there are none. You see, in order for you to be an apostle, there are certain criterias in the Bible. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 gives you the criteria of what it takes and what it took for these men to become an apostle. What is an apostle? An apostle is someone. Look at chapter 1. Are you there? The book of Acts. Slide down to verse 23. Actually, verse 21. Acts chapter 1 says, wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness. The first thing, an apostle, the apostles were ordained. Okay? Number two, if you look at verse 23, they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname Justus and Matthias. Number two, they were appointed. Number three, look at verse 22 again, to be a witness of his resurrection. An apostle had to be not only appointed, but he had to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there were originally 12 apostles, and one of them perished by the name of Judas. And Judas had to be replaced by this man in the book of Acts. Now, the apostles were not limited to 12. As a matter of fact, there is a 13th apostle. You'll find the apostle Paul, who was born out of due time, becoming the 13th apostle. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So Paul, an apostle of, notice he says, of Jesus Christ by the will of God. The will of God is a topic that is often has been forgotten. What is the will of God for every Christian? Well, number one, 2 Peter 3, 9, the Bible said it is the will of God for every man to be saved. For every man to be saved. Some of you may be wondering, especially the younger ones, I don't know the will of God for me. I don't know what God wants in my life. I do not know what God wants me to do. But number one, the first will of God is for us to be saved. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Look at this. 2 Peter 3, 9. We'll get to our message. I'm just doing a little bit of exposition for now. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Look at the first will of God for every person. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The first will of God, it is the will of God for every person to be saved. And no, God has not preordained and predestinated those that will be saved and those that will not be saved. No, God has not done so. Romans chapter 10 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. It's anybody that calls upon him that can be saved. And yet there are those that teach and preach that only some are chosen to be saved. And only some are chosen not to be saved. Hyper-Calvinists believe and teach that. But my Bible says that whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, it is the will of God after salvation for us to be sanctified. Sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Look at that verse with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe in Jesus, that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, speaking about the rapture. We mentioned that in Sunday school today. You see, one day, you look at verse 3 of that same text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, look at the will of God after salvation. For this is the will of God. What does that say? Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, is the will of God for every Christian to be sanctified, to be set aside, to be holy for Him. Number 3, it is the will of God for every Christian to be thankful. To be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Look at this. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's the will of God for us to be saved. It's the will of God for us to be sanctified. It is the will of God for us to be thankful. And then he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. He says, Timothy is our brother. There's this thing called the brotherhood of those that believe in Jesus Christ. There's the belongingness. There's the family. You become adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, with all the saints. You see that? You don't need the Pope's blessing to become a saint. The Catholic Church teaches that a saint only becomes a saint when the Pope says he is a saint. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, saint whoever that the Pope declares to be a saint. But my Bible says that if you are a brother, if you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, my brother and sister, you are a saint. Amen. You're a saint. I saw put a halo on your head. It's like the children and the children's choir with a stick sticks out and then a halo on top. Imagine that. But that does not mean that you are fully sanctified. We still have a corrupt body. But the Bible says that you are a saint. Amen. Then we get to verse 2. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he says, grace, you like that word? Be to you and peace. Two things. If I call this message, if I can put a title to it, it will be Grace Before Peace. The title of this message is Grace Before Peace. Paul says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look at that verse. Why is it that grace comes before peace? Look at that verse again. Grace be to you and peace. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Paul says in all of his apostles, look at chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And then what does it say? Grace be to you and peace. You go to 1 Corinthians. If you do not believe this trend, I saw this trend and I was amazed by it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Here's what Paul says. Grace be unto you and peace. 2 Corinthians, our text, he says, grace be to you and peace. Go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, grace be to you and peace. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at this. Verse 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul says, grace be to you and peace. It's never peace and then grace. It's always grace first and then peace. You still don't believe it? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace. You see that? 1 Thessalonians. Can I just keep going or should I even keep going? You'll see the trend. In every letter of the Apostle Paul, he always mentions, first, it's grace before you'll have peace. And I begin to ask myself, in my mind and in my heart, why is it that grace must come first before peace? And then I realize, first of all, that mankind is not at peace with the Holy God. Mankind is not at peace with the Holy God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Mankind is not at peace with the Holy God. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18, look at what the Bible says. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. That is the life of every person on earth. There is no peace. The United Nations try to unite all the nations to achieve peace on earth, but guess what? There will be none. No matter how many nations unite, there will be no peace on earth. The government can try to ban everything to achieve peace, but they cannot achieve peace. Romans chapter 8 verse 7 says, the carnal mind is enmity with God. Our minds, our nature is enmity with God. You understand what that word means? When God looks upon man, outside of the gospel, all he sees is enemy, sinful. When the Holy God looks down upon man, in the book of Psalms, the psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou visitest him? Romans chapter 3 verse 17 says, the way of peace have they not known. You see, peace cannot be found on earth. Peace cannot be found here on earth. Peace cannot be established and gained by a treaty or an agreement with another country or nation. You cannot achieve peace. Mankind is not at peace with the Holy God. Point number two, mankind can only obtain peace by grace. Mankind obtained peace by grace. Ephesians 2:14 says, by grace, verses 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith. You see? He says, for he is our, let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2. Go, look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Mankind can only obtain peace by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let's start with, start with verse 4. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were, our past condition, dead in sin, hath he quickened us together with him by, I'm sorry, what's that word? Grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. For by grace are you saved. You see, mankind only obtained peace by the grace of God. Luke chapter 10 verse 6 says, if the Son of peace be there, your peace shall be rest. Thirdly, how much grace is needed to achieve peace? Go to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. How much grace is needed to achieve peace? He says, unto every one of us is given, what's that word? Grace, but how much grace? He says, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That much grace. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says, manifold grace. The measure of the gift of Christ, that manifold grace that the Son of God had to come down to earth and be crucified and paid for our sin. That much grace. So first, mankind is not at peace with the holy God. Secondly, mankind can only obtain peace by grace. And thirdly, it has to be much grace. Think about that for a moment. The application of that. In the house and in the church, the only way to have peace at home and in the church is if every believer begins to apply grace with one another. There cannot be peace in the church. There cannot be peace in the home. There cannot be peace in the heart of every man and woman unless and until we learn to be gracious with one another. As a matter of fact, the reason why in the family there's quarreling, there's battles, there's arguments, there's no love in the family and in the church. The reason why in 1 Corinthians, Paul rebukes the church for having divisions. Some of the church members were saying, "Oh, I am of Paul and I am of Cephas, I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm from this group and you're from that group." There's divisions in the church. There were problems in the church. But if every church member and if every family member will only learn and remember that the only reason why we have peace with God, with the Holy God, is because grace was bestowed upon us. And if we could be reminded that we must bestow the same grace that Christ has bestowed upon us, there will be love in the church. Amen. There will be love in the home. But the problem is we have forgotten that it's only by the grace of God that we are saved. Amen. So there is no peace. Churches are dividing. Churches are splitting. Families are being broken. And we try to achieve counseling. We try to go to a counselor, a humanistic counselor. We try everything to bring peace in the church. We even try to bring compromise in the church. But can I remind you from the Bible, there is no peace until you apply grace. You cannot achieve peace until we learn to be gracious with one another. Do you realize that the church is a spiritual hospital? The church is a spiritual hospital. The church is not an organization of holy people, of perfect and holy people. As a matter of fact, the reason why you're here is because you have a problem. The reason why you are in church, the reason why you need church, is because you are a sinner. Amen. The reason why you're in church is because you have troubles and trials. And you are here as a sick, a soul sick individual. Amen. And you are here to be healed by the great physician. Amen. By the great and effectuous medicine. The church is a spiritual hospital. If we forget that and we begin to expect from every believer in the church perfection, you will be disappointed. Somebody else will offend you. Somebody will offend you. It's just a matter of time. You will find something evil about another, and it's just a matter of time. Matthew chapter 18 talks about how to deal with that. But in churches, what is needed in order for us to be at peace with one another, in the home, in order for our family members to be at peace, we must learn to apply grace. We need to be gracious with one another. Then I realized that is why Paul, never in his writing did he write peace and then grace. Over and over in the beginning of all of his letters, he says, grace be upon you and peace. That's why, because Paul recognized that we could not have peace until, number one, we recognize the grace that was given us, and number two, until we begin to be gracious with one another. Forgive one another, Paul says. Forgiving one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of peace. You know, we have an enemy. Would you agree? Amen. We have an enemy. You look at the person sitting next to you, the one behind you, the one in front of you. That is not your enemy. Amen. You look at the person that's speaking behind this pulpit, he is not your enemy. Amen. But we do have an enemy who's trying to tear churches up, trying to discourage believers, trying to break families. We have an enemy. And the last thing that we need is for us to allow that enemy to do his job for us. There's already a man, there's already Satan that's trying to divide us. Let's not give him a chance. Be gracious with one another. And I will close here. I will continue this message tonight for the sake of time. Paul says, 2 Corinthians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace. My first question as we close today is this. Are you at peace with the Holy God? Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you restored your fellowship with Him? If not, you are His enemy. You do not have peace with God. And mind you, in your heart, if you're not saved this morning, you will not have peace. You will not have peace. You know, a troubled person, a restless person, that's because they're looking for peace inside them. Their heart is telling them, look for peace. I want peace. But we turn to all kinds of other things instead of turning to Jesus Christ, instead of turning to the Word of God. If you haven't made peace with God this morning, if you haven't made peace with God, please do so. He's just waiting for you. Number two, if you are not at peace with a family member or a church member, please be gracious. Please be gracious. Remember the much grace that Christ has bestowed upon you. Please remember. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please stand with me. If I could have the piano play as we close. Are you at peace with God? If He comes today, if He returns today, will He consider you an enemy? Or will He consider you His child? Are you at peace with God? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you met with God? Have you restored your fellowship with Him. The altar is open. Or maybe you are saved today, but you are not at peace within yourself, and you are not at peace with your family members, and you are not at peace with your church family members. Would you come to Jesus Christ and be healed? He's the great physician. He is the great physician. Much grace is bestowed upon us. Would you bestow the same grace and forgive that brother? Would you bestow that much grace and forgive that sister? Would you? Christ did it for you. Christ forgave you. Why can't you forgive Him? Why can't you forgive her? Why can't you be gracious to that believer? Christ did. Would you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. People have come, the altar is still open. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If God has spoken to you, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Thank Him. Thank God for the grace, for His grace.
Thank you.
just